Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience. Give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
The New Orleans Pelicans Radio Network won't bow down.
Drives back into the lane. Alley-oop Zion! Oh, my heavens! Oh, my heavens!
Watch your head.
Alley-oop Brandon Ingram!
Yes, sir! Yes, sir!
Boom!
Hi, this is Todd Graffanini. Join Daniel Salerson and me as the Pelicans take on the Minnesota Timberwolves Saturday at 7 p.m. on ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
800-998-1003, real simple. Let us know how you feel. Papa Kleber in the house here at R&O's. Mama Hudak is in here as well. And John Forcade here as well. And also, each and every Friday, you can count on this.
It's
It is the weekend, the last day, everybody, of April. Month of May, literally, starts mañana. Kentucky Derby, right?
Ask Aaron Rodgers. I hear that's where he was.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, John Forcade, yesterday during the show, it came out. Don't want to be there. GM last night. After, they drafted somebody, they were all about, okay, we got to, handle this. You knew it was going to be a question. You knew it was going to be asked, and it was. Because, Maddie, we were talking about it during the show. Does this change your Saints plans, or do you draft and all this other stuff? I mean, do you make calls? You do all these things. What I found interesting was, obviously, as I said, he addressed it, the general manager. And I guess not surprisingly, he was like, look, I mean, you're not going to trade him, right?
My take now is I'm looking at the TV screen right now, and the GM for the Packers is basically saying, he's here. We want him here. We want him here in the future. We're not going to trade him. But the flip side of that is, what's Aaron Rodgers? Because he don't need the money. He could sit out and force their hand if Love doesn't get the things done. But I'm sitting there going, wait a second. Who can they trade him to? 49ers already didn't got their pick. They don't got their quarterback. He still ain't going to trade him there unless he's going to go there and know that this cat they just drafted is the same situation here in Green Bay. So who's available?
Brian Gutekunst, is that how you say it? It's the general manager from Green Bay. I probably destroyed his last name.
Just Brian.
Brian, the GM for Green Bay.
He's our quarterback. He's our leader. We've been working through this for a little while now, and it may take some time, but he's the guy that kind of makes this thing go. So he gives us the best chance to win, and we're going to work towards that end.
Do you think Aaron's ever going to play again for you guys? How can you convince him to come back and play for you after he seems to be, at least if the reports are accurate, that he has no interest in doing that?
Yeah, I'm not going to speak for Aaron, obviously, but no, I think obviously we got a really good team. I do think he'll play for us again, and we're going to, like I said, we're going to work towards that, and we've been working towards that on a number of different fronts. The value that he has to our football team is really immeasurable. He brings so much to the table, not only as a player but a leader. As we go down this road, I think you got to keep in mind how much we want Aaron to be here and how important he is to our organization.
Is there any scenario that you can see trading Aaron Rodgers this offseason?
No, Ryan, I appreciate the question, but no, we're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers.
At least that's for now.
Why did you go draft Love?
Well,
not
trade
telling him
up to draft Love.
Yeah, you traded up, drafted Love, and I heard him this morning say, "Well, we kind of dropped the ball there. We didn't communicate with Aaron about what we were going to do." But he was basically saying, "You know, we have to go out and do what's best for this ball club." Down, dude. If Aaron Rodgers can play 5 years, you don't draft a quarterback now. And his last year or the year before that, he's done. You draft a quarterback. You let him know that when he's close to 40. You know, the guy can still play.
Peyton Turner, the first-round selection for the New Orleans Saints. Sean Fazan, Larry Holder, John Hendricks. We all were agreeing. When it happened, Matty, we were all like, what the bleep, I guess, to an extent. I guess would be the best way to sort of do it. Yet, you know, I think sleep on it. I was thinking, was it Meatloaf? Meatloaf song? Well, let me sleep.
I thought you said you wanted some meatloaf.
No,
I didn't
no.
see the menu.
What's the name of the song? Well, let me sleep on it. Let me sleep on it. And I did.
Dashboard Lights.
I did. Yes. Great song, by the way.
Awesome.
Great song.
A little long, though.
Jordan,
little long.
You may want to, you know, give it a listen.
Yes.
Know? It's
very
easy.
It listens for every first base, second
Meatloaf
base.
Meatloaf Dashboard Lights. Yeah. Just go ahead and Google it.
Yes. Yes.
But, Matty, after sleeping on it, a lot of the points that you were making while I was, you know, tossing things in my house made a lot of sense. We've heard Sean Payton touch on his size. We've touched on, you know, a lot on how he came across. So you say that's something that stood out to you. I'm going to play a bunch of Turner here, but quickly, what stood out to you when you heard?
When I heard Turner?
Yes.
That he studied Cam Jordan in his development of his technique.
Well, let's just start with that then.
Versatility is the first thing that comes to mind when I watch Cam Jordan. I've watched, you know, he's one of the guys that I do watch. My coach, I got a pretty good coach here at Houston, and Coach Brian Early, so... He puts film together. He makes comparisons. He makes his own comparisons and just like gives us tips on guys to watch. But Cam Jordan, he can do it all. He can rush on the edge. He can apply pressure up the middle. You know, he's got good hips. He's got good feet. He's got good hands. So just to be able to be around him and everything that he's experienced, I think that's pretty invaluable, for me. So I'm excited to get over there and know that and, you know, just see what's happening.
So we were surprised. Right.
Yeah, we
by
all
the
were.
Pick. He was asked, "Did you think the Saints were on your radar to grab you?"
Yeah, the Saints have talked to me a handful of times. I wouldn't say that they talked to me the most. So, not that I was surprised when they called, but you know, I was happy to say the least. But they weren't I didn't know if I had to put a top three together, top five together, that was going to pick me in the first round. I wasn't putting the Saints in it. But I mean. I'm excited that they did pick me. No, I wanted to play for the Saints. They got a lot of guys that are similar to me, but I mean, I was shocked, but excited, surprised more so than shocked. But
oh, no.
I mean, I'm just happy to be here in this position.
No. Jordan, what's the beer menu look like?
Yeah, let me
okay.
say
okay.
this.
Like I said,
even he was surprised.
It's pretty long.
Caveat.
Even he was
the
surprised.
Saints keep things close to their chest, and that report did come out yesterday that Peyton Turner was starting to move up the board.
Right.
It seems to me, the quote that Peyton said that stuck out to me was when he said, we watched it again, and then we turned the lights on in the room and said, what are we missing? He has great size. He has great length. They pointed out his vertical. They pointed out his wingspan and just these traits and his outstanding film. And all of those qualities are exactly what the Saints are looking
so
for.
So why was
in a
he
player.
Ranked 106th?
Because
the
Saints rank players differently.
No, I understand that, but everyone else ranked them that high. Or that low.
Right, but the Saints are known for taking players that they know they can coach up.
See what I just did? Yeah, I led you in that direction. Michael Thomas.
Right.
Alvin Kamara.
Trey Hendrickson.
Ryan Ramczyk wasn't, you know, I mean, no one thought that he was going to be
a
guy that didn't give up a sack in an entire NFL season.
Let me just say this. Each 32 teams, they're all going to rank their players. That's what they that's what they're ranking. Do you think they really listen to Mel Kiper or Adam Schefter or Todd McShay? That's what those guys get paid to do for the networks is to put something out there, let people talk about. You don't think that those guys in them boardrooms say, this is my list. I don't care what Mel Kiper and them say. They know who the top. This is what we're looking at. And that's what you got to go by the team and not what all these guys out there projecting. And, you know, that's part. I got to give my hats off because I said the same thing. The Saints are a team that will go after a no-name guy. They have done it in the past. Remember the offensive lineman they picked from Humboldt State or something like that. It was a while back. The guy turned out to be a stud and played for him. So, look, it happens. I'm going to give the guy a shot. You know, Trey Hendrickson, third-round pick. So it could happen.
No doubt. And just got a massive deal over there. Oh, Cincinnati, right? Yeah. Is where Cincinnati. He went over there. Here's Coach. I think this is what you're talking about. They want to get to General Dean?
No. Look, I think as people studied the tape, I felt like when we saw it and then watched it again, you turn the lights on in the room and you say, what are we missing? He's got great size, great length. Again, I think, you see a powerful player. You see him play inside. You see stamina on tape. And, you know, he was nicked up this year with a calf, and played 4 or 5 games of 8. But look, there were too many things that we felt real good about.
All right, there you go. General D, thank you for calling the Sports Hangover live at R&O's. What you got, man?
No, thanks for having me, guys. First, I'll make a couple comments, and then I'll ask a question to the panel. But, you know, shocked, obviously. I was shocked, I think, like everyone else, that he was picked where he was. And it's not because of the player. I think the measurables are there. There's a lot of things to like about him after looking at something that Brian Baldinger had posted. I do see the potential, but the problem is that he didn't have much production. And the 10 and a half sacks in his career at Houston, when it's, you know, not even a power five, that he should be dominating the talent level that he's playing against, he's going to be stepping up against a, you know, much, much higher talent level at the pro level, and especially at the left tackle spot or the right tackle. So that was kind of questionable there. The obvious area of need that we all talked about was the cornerback. But I do think that the top corners went off the board. I don't think that they could find the trade partner as the team started to happen. Obviously, they wanted to get up into the top 10, and I think Micah Parsons was the guy, or J.C. Horn, but nobody was really ready to trade out of that, and I don't think they were going to give a king's ransom to get there. The thing is, today, you know, the draft is still incomplete, which obviously that's, you know, we can't put pass judgment on. But the question that – well, first off, before I say that, so the – I think today it's going to be best available, but, you know, the I was scratching my head as to why they didn't take the receiver or a linebacker there where we picked him. The only thing that I'll ask the panel is, do you think the fifth-year option came into play? A lot of times you'll see teams trade up into the first round to control the quarterback with a fifth-year option. And it seems like that's something that Saints valued. I remember Sean Payton a while back asking or talking about, you know, these guys that are these certain prototypes just don't come up in free agency. So to get that extra year that you control is right, do you think that came into play?
Absolutely. I think the Saints keenly value that fifth-year option. And I just want to point out something about, you know, his lack of production or, you know, whether he's able to play up at the NFL level. I mean, in 5 games last season, he had 5 sacks, 10 and a half tackles for loss, and forced a fumble. And, sorry, in that BYU game, he was tearing after the number 2 overall draft pick. He was getting after Zach Wilson. He was disrupting his pass lanes. He was getting his body
in
there.
Zach Wilson's terrible.
And
he missed the touchdown on the sack everybody keeps showing.
That's
he
fine.
He was right down the seam.
But these are still
nice
players
job,
that are
I'm
in NFL
you.
Locker rooms.
I know,
and Liam Eichenberg is their tackle as well. And he's someone that people value very highly. He is very powerful on the inside. And what stuck out was his the wingspan. When Zach Wilson tries to take off, it doesn't take that much to lunge at him when your hands... your wingspan
7-foot wingspan, right?
Yeah.
All that. And look, I'll say this. I reached out, General D, to Andrea Legretta last night, voice of the Green Wave. I'm like, look, I'm just help me out here. Cause initially I'm like, what? I don't remember going into that game against Houston the last couple seasons going, this is the guy we gotta worry about and stuff. And it's a lot of it in the AAC, in the American, you're thinking offense. So I was like, look at it. And he goes, nah, I don't ever remember putting him on my charts as somebody that I need to worry about. And then he texts me afterwards, you know, he gave it a second, and General D texts me, if I can find it here, he said, I stand corrected, 7 tackles, 4 and a half tackles for loss. So he affected Tulane's offense there, you know, in
that
game.
The Tulane game is the one I want to look at next.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, I mean, it's something that stood out to me. So, again, I'm just thinking, and I know what it is, it's the Davenport thing, but I'm thinking if seven tackles in a game, and if four and a half of those seven tackles are behind the line of scrimmage, we're high-fiving everybody in the dome if that's the case. Now, again, I'm not saying that's going to happen, and I'm not saying that he does that with all the other things, but, yeah, again, but to your point, General D, I was like, who is this guy? And then the guy I called the game for Tulane's like, yeah, I can't really, hold on. And then he's like, oh, yeah, now I remember. And sure enough, in the fourth quarter, he was a big disruptor that kept the Green Wave from winning.
All right, my take is this real quick. Remember the guy who was at Houston and went to the Buffalo Bills named Ed Oliver? His sack total, his career at Houston was 13 and a half sacks total. This young man's got 9.5 sacks total. That's not that big of a difference. Ed Oliver went number one pick for the Buffalo Bills. So, you know, you could say that. I looked at a guy last night, got drafted in the first round. He had zero sacks last year from Penn State. So we can't go by all the sack stuff because he might be doing his job to help out in other areas. I'm going to give the guy, I know it's a reach shot, but I'm going to give the kid a chance and see what happens. You can evaluate it when the season's over with, see how he did compared to what Davenport did his first year with the New Orleans Saints, where the Saints traded up and gave away, you know, landscape.
And just one quick thing, it's not always about sacks. Pressure and hits are equally important, and that's what I think this guy can bring in just as much as the sack total.
General D, do your best to not look at my stomach on Monday at the gym because I'm about to pig out here at RNO's, man. Thank you, bud. Thank you for the phone call.
Well, I hope they good go call. Get Cox. I hope they go get Jabril.
With you.
There you go, Jabril Cox. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Uncle Earl will come to you next on ESPN New Orleans.
Well, I believe I have this day.
This NOLA Gold Report is brought to you by NOLA Gold Rugby. Be a part of the gold mine. Visit NOLAGoldRugby.com today for tickets. The Gold fell at Atlanta last week, 38-28, the final. Head coach Nate Osborne tells us what happened.
Kind of a loss, mate. We just didn't execute the last 20 minutes. We led 28-23, and then they're a good team, and they're professionals as well, but we've had a big week of looking in the mirror and really trying to work out what's going on and also have a, you know, take some responsibility for the loss because I thought we were the better team. We just let ourselves down for, you know, a quarter of the game, which is not good enough.
This week, Toronto comes to the gold mine. Coach previews.
We match up really well against them. We feel really confident. We don't put two bad performances back-to-back, so I'm confident that the guys will come out firing this week and put on a show in front of the home fans and get us back on track.
Kickoff is set for noon. This NOLA Gold Report is brought to you by NOLA Gold Rugby. Be a part of the gold mine. Visit NOLAGoldRugby.com today for tickets.
Hey, New Orleans, this is Nate Osborne, head coach of the NOLA Gold, your Major League Rugby team.
Hey, New Orleans, it's Cole Mayer of your NOLA Gold Rugby team. The 2021 Major League Rugby season is here.
In the Shrine on Airline, now called the Gold Mine.
The Gold Mine is COVID conscious, so you can spread out around the stadium to enjoy the hard-hitting, non-stop action of Major League Rugby, filled with world-class players.
And mate, the best part is that our season tickets are about the same price as one game in other pro sports. Check us out at NOLAGoldRugby.com or just call 50 Rugby.
You're invited to Greg LeBlanc Toyota's spectacular sales event going on now till the end of the month. Great selections of models and colors to choose from and deep discounts. Huge incentives. This is the time to purchase your new Toyota Camry or Corolla. Exceptional MPG ratings and 2 years free maintenance. This is the event you've been waiting for. Visit our friendly staff at Homa's number one dealer, Greg LeBlanc Toyota, where you get the deal.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Jordan Kleber, Papa Kleber, is going to go with Muffalata.
Yeah.
Are we doing three RNL specials over here, guys? Is that what we're doing?
I'm thinking about it, yeah.
What are you doing, Matty?
I think I'm
just going to get gumbo and potato salad.
Gumbo and potato salad.
What? You don't get RNOs to get...
Wow. I think I'm going to get the grilled chicken sandwich.
I can't eat while
the
I'm
grilled
talking.
Chicken? What?
No,
stop
you
it.
Eat after.
What?
Stop
eat,
it. What do you mean stop
not,
it?
You're not doing healthy today.
What's he eating healthy?
Grilled chicken.
That's quite good here.
Come on, man.
I'm betting it is
good
here.
Grilled chicken at Wendy's.
Yeah.
Get something you can't get anywhere.
I wouldn't compare.
I wouldn't compare
this place's grilled chicken sandwich
to
Wendy's.
Cajun Goat on the on-deck circle. Uncle Earl, 800-998-1003. We're live at our nose. Sports Hangover. What you got for us, Uncle Earl? Where are you, man?
Hey, I'm on a North Shore, Gus. I wish I was in Metairie because I would have stopped by to RNO's, man.
Uh-huh. What you got for us,
man? Hey, Gus, you got to get the spaghetti and meatballs, man. And the pink is rolling over there at R&O.
Okay. Okay.
I just made a comment on John's page. I guess everybody was like, man, who the hell is this? I never heard of this guy, but give the guy a chance. Everybody, I guess, caught up on the names and stuff like that. But I wanted to get y'all's take on I like the cornerback from Central Arkansas. And then also Terrence Marshall from LSU, man. I think that kid's got a chip on his shoulder. And if he's still there, what do y'all think about that pick?
Well, I think they need to go for wide receiver. And there's no doubt Terrence Marshall would be higher on my list. The other guy would be on my list would be the kid Moore from Ole Miss. But I put Marshall ahead of Moore. One, it's the fact that he is down here, and we've seen him play. We all know what he can do. Secondly, if you go to defensive back, if you're going to move up, there's only a few of them you can move up to and to package some players to move up for DBs. Linebacking core, if they go to linebacking core, what's left in the linebacking core? I truly believe they need DB and wide receiver before they can get linebackers. But, like they had made a comment, they don't go DBs. They got some free agents out there. I would love to see the Saints go get Marshall, and they got to have some guy on the outside. I'm sold on the Saints getting some package deals today, maybe to move up, because if they wait at where they're at right now, they might not be able to get Marshall.
Is the Arkansas corner you're talking about Robert Rochelle?
The Central Arkansas?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, you know, he is 5'11". He's a little undersized still for me, but.
I got a question, Matt, and before we get there. You're saying all these DBs, we need to get a list here, pull them all up, and then look at the size, like the top guys who are left.
Uh-huh.
Check their size. I bet they go to all average 5'11".
I can pull that up.
I guarantee you won't have too many 6'1s, because if they're 6'1s, they're already gone, or they're close to being gone.
Oh, they're probably gone.
They got some few left, but you better get used to having 5'11 guys covering 6'4 receivers, because they got more 6'4 receivers in the NFL, 6'3 receivers, than they're going to have 5'11.
So there's a corner from Syracuse I like that's 6'3. Tyson Campbell out of Georgia, 6'1. Paulson Adebo out of Stanford, 6'1. I just think that there are a lot of options left that they might look at.
Tyson Campbell was mocked to the Saints by Peter King.
Right.
Yeah.
And Chris Sims. Go ahead, Uncle Earl.
Hey, John. How far do you think we can – I think the next pick's at 60, right? How far can we move up, you think, and get a good quality player?
Well, if you want to move up, they're going to have to package, you know, maybe – couple third round, they got to give up some, you know, at least two picks to move up, and obviously you're giving up your second round pick, but you're going to move up to a second round a little higher. I think they need to be in the top 10 or 12 in the second round day if they want to get a quality receiver or a quality DB that's still left, because other teams are probably looking at the same boat with receivers and DB, so they got to do that. They're going to have to give up something to move up.
Yeah, I agree. Appreciate it, John. Hey, Gus, y'all have a great day, buddy.
Take care, Uncle Earl.
Enjoy it, Uncle.
Thank you for the phone call. 800-998-1003. We're live at RNO's. Gus, John, Maddie, and the intern, the GOAT. What we got?
Hey, man, I'm okay with the Saints not trading up. I'm okay with the Saints getting whatever they get in their spot, because I think they need more players. They lost a lot of players this year. And the edge rusher guy, I mean, the one thing they did say about him is that he has a motor. You like a guy that has that type of energy. Because that's what Hendricks actually gave you. He gave you a motor. He never quit on a play. So, I mean, you're drafting guys that you think is going to fit into what you like to do. So I'm not much for them going up to get anybody. I mean, you can still get good guys in the positions you're at without giving up anything. This team lost a lot of people, I think, in the offseason. And they like to use rotation. So I think the more they get, the better off they are.
That the rotational approach is really what they focus on, and I think that the defensive end is kind of an underrated need. Before we lost Janoris Jenkins in free agency, that was actually the position that I saw was kind of getting quickly depleted. We lost Sheldon Rankins, we watched Trey Hendrickson. They're not all necessarily at the same role, but like you said, they really like to use that rotational approach with these players. And you mentioned this guy's motor. Fans that are on the edge, I strongly implore you to go watch his tape and watch him chase down players at his size. He really does. I can see the thought process of those really special athletic traits. If they are able to coach him up technique-wise, that this could actually end up being a solid pick and a very underrated one at that.
Yeah, and this is another point. I think, you know, you have really decent linebackers. I don't think the draft was deep on. I don't think they were expecting the draft to go quickly with the defensive players, but maybe it went quickly with the defensive players because there's not that many, you know, available that are that great. So I mean, you're gonna get an average defensive player, but you never know. Sometimes they work out. Do you think that they go after one of these wide receivers, because there was not a lot of wide receivers picked, and this is supposed to be a deep wide receiver draft?
Right. Here's my thing, is the Saints are one of those teams that are particularly adept at evaluating, you know, those later round talents at wide receiver. We've seen it with Marcus Colston. We've seen undrafted free agents like Lance Moore, Robert Meacham. I mean, Michael Thomas was a second rounder, but he's pretty much, you know, the first rounder was Brandon Cooks, and that didn't really work out. The Saints are very good at evaluating that position. And I also think that they're not entirely sure, you know, what that role is going to look like, what kind of prototype at wide receiver they're looking at. I'm looking at players like Anthony Schwartz, who are day three options that don't necessarily fit what we think as their wide receiver prototype, but we're thinking, you know, under the Drew Brees offense, what that looked like. It stuck out to me notably that they met with a player like Schwartz a couple times who didn't really fit that mold. So there are really good receivers that are left right now, but I don't want them to reach for need. It just really depends on how they evaluated these positions this year. And just my takeaway at this point is the skill roles are ones that they are not super confident on if they're lacking in those film and those measurables.
Do you think they have a playmaker in the second round, that a guy that can just catch the ball and take it to the house? Because I don't see that on the Saints roster right now.
I don't see nothing on the Saints roster that could be a playmaker, but there are some guys left that are wide receivers out there. Marshall can do it. Moore from Ole Miss can do it. That's the two guys that I'm sticking on it if they want to go out. There's some receivers still available. Now, with all that being said, do they have guys on their roster that probably can do that? They probably do. We just haven't seen it yet because of the guys they had in the past. So, look, Sean Payton and Mickey, they're going to get this picks down right here in the second day of the picks. They got to look for DBs, and they got to look for wide receivers.
Yeah, and I just think, yeah, the wide receiver class is really just really deep this year. There's players like Josh Uiagalelei, who is one of those later-round picks that people are very high on. So with it being such a wide or, you know, deep class especially, and granted that some of these other classes are so thin, what I honestly, frankly, see happening is them packaging, you know, these picks at this point to get aggressive in rounds 2 and 3 and just kind of getting out.
So they got the 28th pick.
Yeah.
In the second round, 60 overall. Then Cajun Goat, they have the 35th pick, 98th overall in the third round, and another one, number 42. So right now, 28, 60 overall in round two, and then pick 35 and pick 42 in the third round. I'd be shocked if we don't see 2 second round picks or
right.
Another third or
well,
something. Or
you got
moving
60,
higher.
60, 98, 105, 133. Those are all, you know.
Fourth rounder. Yeah,
yeah, but packaging all those together, I think this is where we see the aggressive moves. I just don't think the Saints had any capital in the first round at 28 to be able to make any moves. But those moves I could see being made today, absolutely.
Yep.
What D tackles, because we lost two good D tackles that stopped the run very well. What
yep.
D tackles do you think they have left that maybe the Saints can go get? Because I wasn't too bad. I was really thinking in the first round they could have got the kid from Alabama. He's
Barmore.
A good run
well,
stopper.
He's still available.
You know?
Yeah,
Barmore.
Available.
Yeah. Do you think they can probably go up and get him if they think he fits? I mean, he's got to fit what they want to do.
I think they could go up and get him, but I think there are players like Levi and Onwuzurike. There's, you know, Lee McNeil.
Well,
like
Tyler
Williams.
Shelvin for you LSU fans.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of players, and it's hard. You know, what yesterday really showed me is that the Saints' evaluations this year are going to look a lot different than we're used to, just with the limited amount of information. It's really hard for me to say, you know, what positions I feel like they see are, you know, deeper at that. But there are some defensive tackle options, absolutely, but you know, I don't know how fans would react if they went defensive line and then defensive tackle first and second and cornerback and linebacker was still not addressed. So we'll see, but there are some good options.
You know what, they'll feel different about it whenever they run into football on us next year and we don't have a D tackle that can stop it. They'll feel differently about that because it all starts up front. We know that. All right, guys, have a great one. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Malcolm Brown was huge.
Yeah, let me say this. We also got to remember this. they better think about getting some old linemen just because you got to have depth. How many times last year we saw some of our starters go out for a period of time? You got to have some depth. So I would look at receiver, DB, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking O-line after that.
Wouldn't surprise me at all if we saw an O-lineman go in round two.
Because they always do that. They always go to Saints, always in second, third, fourth round. They'll snatch a lineman.
That's John Forcade, Matty Hudak, Gus Cattingill with you, Jordan Kleber as well. We're live at R&O's here in Bucktown. Up next, Rafael Esparza, the Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. Whithorse, are you laying your money on? It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
The winner.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game. And now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven. It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good. But cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you could pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
We're all ready for spring. Now's the time to get ready for spring projects with help from The Home Depot. Install a brand new faucet. Lay down fresh new flooring. Roll on a bright new coat of paint. Need to figure square footage or paint coverage? Our project calculators will do the math. Do it all from our app. And get delivery right to your door. Download our mobile app to get started. Bring on spring with innovative help from The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
There it is. I was waiting for the drop there, Jordan Kleber. How are you today? Any responses to our question of the day, sir, at all whatsoever?
We do have a few responses to the question of the day. Some people are telling you to chill out because I did include in the question. Saints fans, what do you think of the Saints selecting Peyton Turner? Help Gus Cattingill chill down.
Oh, so you put it in the question to make people think that I had an issue.
Yes. So Deuce Windham then responded back.
Uh-huh.
We have him on the show sometimes. Tell at @gcat_17. I'll send him my scouting report.
Oh, no! We suck again!
What is that face for?
Nothing. It's pretty interesting, John. I put that into question to make me seem like I'm the one that's doubting Thomas.
I noticed that.
I'm the doubting Goosey here.
Well, you did give me some good texts last night, but there's a little doubt in your voice, but we all have
little
that.
Doubt. I think everyone had doubt so far.
I think everybody.
You are absolutely lying to me. If that pick was made and you went absolutely yes and you're fist pumping and you poured a celebratory shot, you're lying. You're absolutely lying. Now, after you found out who that was and you felt that way, that's understandable. Rafael Esparza, because of that pick, though, I'm assuming the New Orleans Saints odds to win the Super Bowl in the upcoming season have gone up by a percentage point, right? At least something like that?
They're the heavy favorites right now. I mean, if they got the team that can beat Tom Brady and go to the ship, no, they're not. You're going to have a division
thing. All right. In all honesty, though, the first round gets so much attention. Today and tomorrow really is where you make your hay and these teams are built. But you guys over in Vegas, did you get a lot of action and attention? Say that Dallas have some money coming in, all of a sudden they feel good about themselves. Maybe some other teams that felt good. San Francisco.
Money's coming in San Francisco. A lot of the Aaron Rodgers rumor teams, the Raiders money has come in. the Broncos, but I can't believe how much money is on the Jets since last night. I think they did pretty well in the draft for the first round, but not enough for me to put money on them to win the Super Bowl.
Let me ask you a question. You brought up Aaron Rodgers. I know, Maddie, yesterday I think you said that if the Packers were going to do anything like that, it's not going to be in conference. It'll be, his preference is the West Coast. You look at those teams out there, though. Is the Raiders the favorite there that you would kind of go in that direction? Is that a better?
After they drafted Alex Leatherwood, but 17th overall.
That's what I'm saying, though. Just overall, like, I mean, is that a better situation in Green Bay?
And I don't, not, Rafael, not to me.
What are the odds right now? What do you think he goes?
I think he goes to either Denver or Vegas. I think those two, but I've been telling people, look out, if there's one team in the NFC, it's got to be your team in your backyard. I think it's got to be the Saints. If he goes any team in the NFC, I think it's them. Everyone else in the NFC got their quarterbacks already. I would not be shocked if we hear rumors out of your backyard.
Well, here's my thing with that, too, and it's the same reason I think Russell Wilson was linked to us. You look at what Aaron Rodgers is trying to get out of his team. Some, you know, a sense of them valuing him and some, you know, kind of control over the offense. He wanted a wide receiver last year and they traded up and selected his heir apparent. So you look at what, you know, Sean Payton, how he's treated Drew throughout the years, how he's had a seat at the table. He lets him take the game into his hands. You know, that type of coaching and that type of roster definitely are something, you know, that Aaron Rodgers certainly would look at as an appealing thing, but I think the 49ers were probably his prime destination until they took Lance yesterday.
John, where do you think he would go when they would get to Rafael?
All right, I'm going to say before we go any further this with Aaron Rodgers, great fit here in New Orleans. Nobody's talked about it. A dome stadium. He doesn't have to worry about bad weather. Look what it did for Drew Brees over the years. Look what it did for a bunch of quarterbacks, Peyton Manning playing in a dome. He comes to a dome-type stadium with a coach that would probably, you know, kiss his feet for him. I truly believe he needs to go to the right proper spot. The Saints would be a great fit for him here. If not here, he wants to go to the West Coast. The only place he can go would be Las Vegas.
Rafael?
I agree on that. I mean, I think Vegas, but don't sleep on Denver. I think Denver's a live look in to see what happens on that one. But I think with the 49ers, when they drafted Trent, I think Jimmy G stays there now. I think that you have to throw the 49ers out the door on that one. So it's got to be those two destinations in the West, Denver and then the Raiders.
I don't want to waste any more of your time, sir, because I know the people that like the ponies are like, enough of the NFL already, dude. There's kind of a big race going on tomorrow. It kind of took us by surprise here in the table. I had to double check it. 147th running of the Kentucky Derby. The field is set. Who are the favorites here? You know how I go. I always pick by name. Maddie, there's a horse in the fifth slot there. Sainthood. How about that? Sainthood, 29-1 the odds there. I, you know, Jordan likes Helium in the 12th slot there. I pick by names only. Rafael, where should I put a little cash on?
Sainthood really struggled in his last race in March at Tampa in Tampa Bay, so there's a reason why he's 50-1, but I like the horse that I thought about my wife all honeymoon time, Rock Your World, the 15 horse, 5-1. I think he's going to get a lot of play. I think Essential Quality, who's the favorite, it's just a bad post position of 14. I don't see him winning a race. But keep an eye out for Hot Rod Charlie, who's beaten some big opponents already, Midnight Bourbon and Media Spirits. But Hot Rod Charlie and I think the 15 horse, Rock Your World, hit the board.
I like Bourbonic.
I like Rock Your World. Bourbonic. I just looked at it for. I just like the name Rock Your World. I'm gonna go home and tell Tanya that I'm picking Rock Your World to win tomorrow.
This description for Bourbonic: a state of consciousness occasionally achieved upon the consumption of an ample sufficiency of bourbon. Owner explained in an email.
There you go. Perfect enough. That is the reason the horse is named. As a matter of fact, we will go. Anybody want to put up a little $5 on Bourbonic?
Yeah, I'm going Bourbonic.
Bourbonic. You mentioned where in the post that you are. Historically, where would you like to sort of be, and why did you say the favorite has a bad spot in that post? Why is that?
The 14th spot is just a bad spot. I think the reason why he's probably going to struggle, because I think he might want to try to run with the 13th horse, Hidden Stash, that has early speed. If Hidden Stash jumps on the lead with Helium and they battle for who's going to run around the circle first, I think Central Quality will follow them and gas out. So I think that's why I just don't like that 14 spot. Helium and Hidden Stash will probably grab the lead early, and I think Central Quality chases them and just gasses out towards the stretch.
What about Maddie? Not to sway you, but Bourbonic is nice. Midnight Bourbon in the 10th spot. Do you want a little Midnight Bourbon, or you just want to be known for bourbon? I mean, that's kind of you got to pick a horse. What am I?
I like that it's used as like almost like an adjective.
I like that Bourbonic. Midnight Bourbon 11-1. What do you think of this horse, Raphael?
I like it. Even though Hot Rod Charlie beat him at Fairgrounds in March, but it was a really tight race and just got a bad start. So I think Midnight Bourbon hits the board. I would be kind of shocked if it does win the race, but I think it does hit the board. I'm going to take a shot with him on some exactas and tries. Midnight Bourbon, I believe, it has enough gas to hit the board at least come second or third.
Give me Like the King, Raphael, 46-1 odds. Let me place $5 and make a few of my bucks back.
It's now at 47-1.
What's Bourbonic's odds?
Bourbonic is 24-1.
I'll put 10 on Bourbonic.
Okay. Raphael, is that how I make the money? I do Like the King and then I go with the favorites. A trifecta or something of that nature?
Yeah, I'm going to drive to the bar right now where you guys are at, even though I didn't get invited, to book all your guys' action, because I will clean up tomorrow if I took all your guys' action.
John, you're...
I am not... Look, I know all about horse racing. I had a good friend of mine who was a jockey, and he told me how that works, so I do not bet on horses because I'd rather have a football bet than a jockey on the top of a horse.
Got to trust the jockey, baby.
My great uncle was a jockey, so maybe I'll have some lineage.
All right, well, there you go. All right, so you're going Bourbonic. I'm going to go Midnight Bourbon. You're going Like the King.
Like the King.
I'm going to go Rock Your World. I still want to rock your world, baby.
Jason Pete. All right, so you and Raphael are rocking people's world. Raphael, anything on the fisticuffs you need to hit on?
A big heavyweight fight this weekend. You got Andy Ruiz fighting his first time under the Canelo camp, who's dropped 45 pounds for his heavyweight fight. He wins this fight, should be pretty easy. He might be up there to fight maybe Tyson Fury, one of the other big heavyweights. I'm very curious to see how he looks. To lose 45 pounds as a heavyweight and still fight in that division, I can't wait to watch him in a boxing ring tomorrow.
What was it before he lost the weight?
His last fight, I think some 260, 270 around there. And I think, like they said, he's probably going to come in a ring 225.
That's a lot of weight.
Okay.
That's a lot of weight.
Easy enough. Raphael, as always, man, appreciate it. At VSI Doc Sports, what?
Well, before you go, thank you, Raphael, for going on a Zoom conference call with me the other day. The story turned out well.
You better give him an A. I mean, if he gets a C on that, then we couldn't blame
hope
you.
I get an A on that, Raphael.
Yeah.
Not a problem. I'm just working on my 2022 mock draft report right now for next year, so I've got plenty of time.
That's all the time we have for Raphael Esparza. You know what? At least the club's closer's doing well. Too bad he doesn't score any, they don't score any points. So, Raphael, we'll see if the Cubs win a game again. There he goes. At VSI Doc Sports is the way to follow Raphael on Twitter. Go check out his video on Instagram as well. Maddie, John, quarterbacks. The quarterback, what we saw a lot of being taken yesterday as well. Sean Payton had this to say afterwards.
Good question. Look, none of us were surprised with the first two picks, right? I think San Francisco spent a lot of time on two players they were interested in and arrived at their decision. And then, you know, shortly thereafter that, Mac was taken. You had basically five good players. What was was Mac the last one at 15?
Yeah.
So look, Fields was taken right there. And then Mac, all five of those guys have to be happy. There was none of this like all the way to pick 28 or 29. And all of them look, they all have had real good careers, be it some of them a little bit briefer than others, and part of that was COVID. And each team, you know, you could go around the league and have 32 teams stack those five players, and you'd have some similarities with some teams, but outside that, maybe the first pick, I think you would probably get a little different depending on club ranking maybe 2 through 5. And all of those guys, the teams, I'm sure, are excited. They have a vision for what they're looking for, and the players have all had winning seasons, productive winning seasons, and have been guys that have demonstrated their ability.
You know what, guys? I just realized why Jordan Kleber is wearing all black. Because the Chicago Bears got Justin Fields, David Kaplan, ESPN 1000 in Chicago.
When you combine the idiocy going on in Green Bay and us getting Justin Fields, other than winning the Super Bowl, I'll argue with you that's the greatest day in the history of the freaking franchise in my lifetime. They moved up and they got a competent quarterback? Are you kidding me? And if you really want to be honest about it, since 16, when the Cubs won the World Series, it's the greatest day in Chicago sports. Name me a better one.
You fixed the Trubisky mistake with, you guys got, in my opinion, who could easily be the best quarterback out of this draft. So to get that opportunity, not have to give up the farm for it, and get to fix the whole Trubisky thing in turn, great.
John, body language, though, on Justin Fields when he got that pick, he had a little chip on that shoulder, man. No doubt about it.
He did, but let me say this. They better give him the same amount of time they give Trubisky. Because if he doesn't do what Trubisky, what's Trubisky's record? It's a winning record. If he doesn't, Fields does not do what Trubisky did, they better send him down the road as well.
I was really hoping they would pick Mac Jones.
Who? Speaking of Mac
Jones, I think he's a better pick. I think Justin Fields works
tell you
well
what,
up there.
The winning gif of the night, and you want to talk about like Trey Lance?
You saw
that lot. That confidence in his walk. You saw Justin Fields from the empty couch to him kind of feeling like, all right, I'm coming. But I got to tell you, Mac Jones's Bill Belichick's walk.
Yes, you saw that, huh?
He looked
like
McMahon.
Where it looked like he was a high school principal going to break up a fight in the cafeteria
was incredible. He was sprinting to somebody's room.
The split gif of Belichick on the left walking and Mac Jones.
You see what he did with the hat?
Yeah.
He walked back, just ripped the hat off the podium and kept walking. He didn't stop to check it. No, he grabbed it.
And then they also posted the picture of him shirtless and Tom Brady shirtless.
Oh, God.
So, there you go.
If you haven't seen it, go on Twitter.
Yeah, go on.
Make sure to find it.
Sports Hangover live at RNO's. Don't go anywhere on ESPN New Orleans.
All those lovers circling around in love. Slings and arrows, dogs and love.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing Etail Business can do for you, and that's connecting you to work every day. Etail is on for business.
Experience the history at Destrehan Plantations Heritage Weekend. You'll observe historical reenactments, daily chores like candle dripping, butter making, laundry, and even simple pastimes to wars being fought on this very soil. You'll observe the influences of the many cultures that contributed to Louisiana life. Take a step back into history this weekend at Destrehan Plantations Heritage Weekend, 13034 River Road in Destrehan. Parking is free, food is available for purchase, and children under 6 enter free.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Jordan Kleber, Papa Kleber, Mama Hudak here as well. Thank you for everybody for stopping by. It's fun. You just said it during the break. I want to get to something specifically that everybody's excited about, at least on Saints land, and I think Saints fans, after they digested the pick, length. We'll talk about that in a sec, but quickly, you brought it up. I was making a comment going back and forth with my buddies on our group text. I mean, Alabama, what was it, 18% of the first round where Alabama picks Barmore could have possibly essentially gone. I know, Maddie, you brought up Leatherwood as somebody that was a reach, but he was still in there. I mean, in the first 15 picks, it's three or four of them. It's the receivers. Mac Jones goes 15.
Surtain.
Surtain. I was sitting there saying, and I looked at my wife, I'm like, if I'm Arch Manning, and I've said this before on the air, Jordan, you know this. I'm not even thinking about anybody. If I'm this quarterback like this with this lineage and all this other stuff and, you know, now I'm five-star, why would you ever not go to Alabama? You're going to have ridiculous running backs.
But you're Arch Manning. You can go anywhere. NFL receiver. You could be a number one pick.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right. I mean, I want to go to an NFL team.
Right.
Because that's what I saw last night in the draft. Well, they're NFL players.
The thing is,
why would I go anywhere else?
I agree, but that's his Arch. I mean, he can go play for, you know, Nickel State, and he's still going to get picked number one. You know what I'm saying?
Alabama's
interested
in what I'm saying.
If he wants to win championships and play for championships.
It's a no-brainer.
Instead of going to the Gator Bowl or going to the, you know, Outback Bowl, he's going to play for the, you know, top four teams in the championship.
I think my phrase I kept saying was, just go ahead and tweet it out now, Roll Tide, and then give them 2-3 years. I mean, well, they got 2 years, right, before he's a senior. And then you go, hey, go out and this guy's coming.
Alabama was one pick away from breaking the record all time. Seven players.
It's unbelievable. You know, now it's not that I hate LSU or anybody else. I'm just saying that my son, Carver, Carver's a five-star quarterback. The second I open my mailbox and see Alabama University, you're going to have to convince me why you shouldn't go there.
I agree.
I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, the only problem you're going to have, well, because, you know, the following year, they're going to be going after another guy for your position.
I understand that. Mac Jones is a perfect example.
He sat around waiting.
Right? Hurts, Tua, I mean, you name it. I understand
that. Well, it goes to show you nowadays, if you want to get picked in the NFL, you can only do it 1 year. You don't need to have, remember, were all like, oh, you got to have 2 years on your belt. The guy, Trace, had 1 year. You know, Lance had one season. A lot of guys get 1 year under their belt. Mac Jones, 1 year, basically. Just show what you got. So if you could do it 1 year, and the only place you could do that,
I'm just saying,
has to be top. You can't do a 1 year program at Northwestern. You got to be at Alabama.
I'm watching that draft, and I'm like, it's a machine.
Playing the SEC. Just playing the SEC.
You've had a theme so far today. Size matters for the New Orleans Saints. Length, in particular, is something that is standing out to a lot of people as we do more and more researching on Peyton Turner. Tell me why. Now we'll talk, and then I'll play a bite from Turner, specifically talking about his leg.
Sure. Like, you know, as much as we talk about everyone that was undersized in this draft class, two pro day measurables on Peyton Turner. His 84-inch wingspan per mockdraftable.com, longest recorded for an edge player since 1999. And Peyton, I believe, mentioned his three-cone drill last night, but his three-cone drill time of 6.70 seconds, historically speaking, is in the 99th percentile for NFL defensive ends. So when you have that and you look at his height, which is 2 inches more than Trey Hendrickson, he really, the prototype is almost, you know, he's like breaking the prototype in terms of size, length, and speed. And when you have a three-cone drill like that, but you're still able to have an 84-inch wingspan, there was a lot of potential to build the technique there.
Here's Turner on the advantage of using length.
I mean, in the run game, it's definitely a pretty supreme advantage, I think, just to be able to keep blockers off you, those tackles, and just disengage and make a play two gaps, whether you're playing on the outside, on the defensive end, setting the edge, and then coming up under in the B gap and making a play, or, you know, getting off the rock and setting the edge. Keeping the blocker off you, getting vision on the quarterback or the ball. So, in that sense, I mean, it's really the advantage that you want, especially from an edge defender. And then, in the pass game, you know, there's so many things you can work with your length. That's why it's so coded and so important. You know, that's why you hear them talking about tackles, having length is so important, just because defensive ends are such long athletes, and being able to, play on the edge and keep the blocker's hands off me. I think those are pretty essential for an edge defender. So, I'm glad I got those traits.
John, Maddie brought up the fact that, you know, when you have that kind of length, and especially to try to go get quarterbacks and such, why is that key? Especially because you were a guy that liked to use your feet a little bit.
Just a little bit, because I had to. Right. In a situation where this young man here, ain't but one guy basically can get a sack on the defensive front line, or the other guy, they can split him in half if they get there together. It's the pressure. If I'm a guy, they teach guys, look, you can't get to the quarterback. If a quarterback pulls up after three steps, you're not going to sack him. Pull up, do some pressure, get in his line of flight. You want to hamper him, do whatever it takes. And a quarterback that gets hit a few times, he might not get sacked, but if he gets hit a few times, it's going to put a little worry in his mind.
Right.
So if they're putting pressure on the quarterback, that's one thing that helps the team. But if you got a guy out there who's not even getting pressure, and he's running around and he's getting beat outside and he's getting taken out of the play, you don't want that kind of guy. 6 foot six with a wingspan that's, 88 inch, whatever it was, that's going to disrupt that quarterback in his passing lane. Prime example. Drew Brees cannot throw the football over the middle, because you ever see Drew Brees? He's up on every bit of his 5'11 toes, trying to see through there, under his mask, trying to see something. They find lanes, quarterbacks, but if you can disrupt them by getting in his lane, and that's what they want, they're going to eventually get the sacks. Sooner or later, you double-teaming Cam Jordan, that's going to free up the other guy. That's what Hendricks had for him going. Everybody's worried about Cam Jordan and not the Hendricks guy.
Right.
And that guy, that's how he got his sack. Where was Davenport? We don't know. And hey, even Malcolm Brown had some time last season. So
it's funny, you're bringing up something, and I want you to touch on it. It's got about a minute in this segment. We'll open up next hour continuing about this. One of the things that people were kind of high on was a guy like Curtis Granderson, right? David Onyemata has really been a good player sort of for that as well. You touched on Brown, a guy that wasn't from here but came here and all that. My point I'm trying to get to is Ryan Nielsen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everyone was really excited when he came to the staff, and Sean Payton touched on it. It's about a minute long, so I'll play it, then we'll go to the break. But I want to hear, Maddie, because you're bringing up a point about this guy's potential. Ryan Nielsen in the Saints defensive line, you've seen improvement in guys, other than Davenport, to an extent, because Cam Jordan will try to tell you that he is getting better and he is doing all those things, and you have seen flashes. But there are a lot of other players on this defensive line that absolutely have improved. Trey Hendrickson just made millions. Okay, so there is improvement on there. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, look, I think, number one, Ryan does a fantastic job. And I think he and Brian Young, when given, along with the scouts, when given these players to grade and evaluate and read, those opinions matter. You know, I think most importantly, the vision that everyone has and what we feel like, the player can do early on. And it's hard to find those players, guys that we feel like can rush the passer, guys that have that stature. So it was one of those picks that I know the scouts, as well as the coaches, all of us involved. I mean, he's someone that has got a fantastic makeup. So he's exciting.
We'll hear more about it from the top of the hour. Maddie, when we come back, touch on